any place. And God can reveal Himself to anybody, anytime. And you don't have to worry about it. The Bible says very simply, anybody seeking God will find Him. And there's nowhere in the Bible it says that after you come to God for salvation, you quit seeking. You're just getting started. And there has to be a motivation to seek. I think when we come to God for salvation, we're seeking Him to go to heaven. We're seeking Him because many times we're in some kind of a problem. A lot of reasons people seek Him, but after we become Christians, then we are to seek Him out of love. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Let's go to Song of Solomon chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says, by night on my bed I sought Him, whom my soul loves. I sought Him, but I found Him not. I will arise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek Him whom my soul loves. I sought Him, but I found Him not. The watchman goes about the city, found me, to whom I said, have you seen the one whom my soul loves? It was but a little while that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loves. I found Him. I held Him. I would not let Him go until I brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her who conceived me. There's a picture of, in this case, a woman who represents two things, I think. Number one, the church, and number two, individuals. You and I. I think this woman represents both of those. And it talks about, I really think, the bride who is, every believer is in the bride of Christ. And this is a bride seeking her husband. This is like a married woman seeking her husband. This is someone that she knows. This is someone that she loves. And she's just not at all at peace without Him. And she desires to be in His presence. And that's a picture, of course, of you and I should be desiring Jesus on a daily basis. In fact, we should become more passionate for Him the more that we know Him, the longer that we're a Christian, the more that we're in the Word of God, the more that we're around other Christians, we should be longing for Him. For when we go to bed at night, when we get up in the morning, when we eat our meals, when we're out in the city, when we're at home, when we're on the job, wherever it is, there's always a place, there's always a time that we might call the secret place of the Most High. And that place is very simply having a place within you that is constantly seeking God. This is the love affair that's going to go on for eternity. Many people like to go by the rules and like to go by all of these things set down by tradition and all of these traditional things. But the Bible talks about a love affair with God. The Bible also says, very interesting, He loved you before the foundation of the world. You say, how is that possible? I wasn't even alive yet. Because of God, it says that God knew you before He ever created anything. God desired that you would be born. God, I want to say that again. God desired that you would be born. Knowing everything that would happen in your life, knowing everything you would have to go through, good and bad, God desired that you would be born. God loved you. You were loved before you were ever conceived. And somebody might say, you know, nobody loves me. I've never really been loved in my life. That's not really true. Because God loves you. God loves people whether they're lost or saved. He brought all those people into this world. He may not love what they do or what you do, but He loves you. So you are loved 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a there's a force of love coming from God to your life on a daily basis. I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 91 and verse 1. Psalm 91 and verse 1. And this is quite an interesting psalm, and we haven't got time to go through the whole thing. But there's been books written on this psalm. It's quite interesting. But it says, verse 1, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night or for the arrow that flies by day." Now, I might say to you, is that you now? Is that you right this minute? Or are you in fear of something? Or are you under the wings and the shadow of the Almighty? The point is, we have to seek that place. We have to seek a place where almost any place you can be, you can commune with God and be at peace regardless of what's going on around you. Now, that's the kind of an atmosphere, and that's the kind of life that we should be living as Christians. We don't want to stop short of what God has for us. We don't want to stop short of knowing Him. We don't want to stop short of His fullness. When you're in love, you know it. Has anybody ever been in love and they didn't know they were in love? I don't think so. When I first see my wife every morning, it's like she's new and refreshing every time that I look at her. You see. And that's the way it should be with the Lord. He's new every morning, the Word of God says. And we should have renew ourselves with Him every single morning and look upon Him who died for us. Not only for encouragement, not only for what He can give, but because of who He is. I'll guarantee you in heaven you're not going to worry about what God's going to give you. You're just going to want to be with Him. And we should be beginning that process now. We should be falling in love with Jesus in such a way that you can't stand not to be in His Word. You can't go to bed without being His Word, and you can't hardly get up and be up very long without being in the Word of God, because you're so in love with Him. And I may be talking about something to you that you have never realized before, but that's the kind of relationship that God wants with us. What we have a tendency to do is stay away from God because of what we've done or what we are doing, and we have this sense that we need to stay away from Him because we don't want to disappoint Him or any of those things. And what He wants you to do is come to Him, and He will help you with all these things that would interfere with your relationship to Him. So we're searching for Christ. We're searching for a person. When you're in heaven, you're going to see Him, if I can put it this way, in the flesh. Because there will always be a man on the throne of God. It's an amazing thing. There'll always be a man on the throne of God. Because He is God and He is man, perfect God, perfect man, but there'll always be a man on the throne of God. I don't know about you, what that tells me, that God will never change His plan. You see. If we got to heaven and He wasn't a man on the throne, He'd be something else, I would say God must have changed the rules someplace, because that's not the way I understood this. But since there's always going to be a man on the throne of God, we know we have an eternal destiny with Him. So it's really not what we do a lot of times, it's It's our attitude towards Him. The doing comes because we love Him. We don't do things and then hope He's going to love us, because God never quit loving you. He never will quit loving you. You can't do anything to stop God from loving you. I want to say that again. You can't do anything to stop God from loving you. So we need to get this thing right in our own minds and in our heart. The fact is, God's love is always there, and if you're a Christian, it's always going to be there, and you can't do anything that's going to change that, and God will not do anything, so He's always going to be there loving you. There's somebody that loves you enough that He'll never leave you or forsake you. His name is Jesus. And so we have to realize this. He's not going to love us when we mess up. He's not going to stop loving us when we mess up. He's not going to stop loving us at all. He never stops loving us. And we get to heaven, He's going to love us. Now, I didn't say there wouldn't be any tears when we get there, because we know there will be a few tears. But I think primarily that's because we saw we're going to be able to see great opportunities we had we didn't take. And we're going to feel so bad about that because of His love. And so it's a continually seeking Him is more important than doing something for God. Because if you're continually seeking Him, you will do what He asks you to do. Some people get this backwards and say, well, if I obey God and I do all these things, and we should do those things, but if I obey Him and do everything I know I'm supposed to do, I'm going to be all right with God. I have news. Since the cross, you've been all right with God all the time. Amen. We have a wrong attitude about God. We have a wrong view of God. We think He's up there just trying to find something wrong so He can hit or spank us or do something to us. And what all God is doing, because I'm going to tell you something, God always looks for the good. And love always looks for the good, and God is love. And the first thing, when you stand before God, guess what? He's going to say something good. Somebody said, boy, I don't know if I want to go to heaven. I don't want to hear all that stuff that, you know, where I messed up. Well, it says, we're going to be studying this tonight, that God's going to say something good about everybody that stands before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to have something good to say about everybody. I know if one of my sons call me or my daughter calls me, I'm not going to try to figure out something to find out they did wrong, because I love them. I'm going to compliment on something they did right. I'm going to listen to them and I'm going to say, oh, that's good. That is good. You did a great job there. That was very nice, very sharp. You got it on that one. And that's the way the conversation is going to go. You see. And when we're in prayer with God and we're in communication with God, that's the way it should go. It should go in that way, because He's not there to try to find something wrong in your life. It's a continual journey. It never stops until we're with Him, and then it really starts, as I've talked about before. Look in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. You want to remember this one, because you ought to even memorize it, because it would be helpful in a lot of different times in your life. Jeremiah 29, 11. Now, I don't know that you think about this either, but God's thinking about you. Somebody said He thinks about you every 20 seconds. Verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." to give you a beautiful ending. He says, now I want you to see that, well, we'll go over this ourselves just a minute. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I'll gather you from all the nations and from all the places which I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I'll bring you again unto the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Obviously, in the context, he's talking about Israel, but he's also talking about you and I. Now, let's say this together. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now that's a promise of God. And he never goes back on one single promise. He never has. He never will. He won't on earth. He will not in heaven. He does not go back on his promises. And when he makes a promise, he stands by it with his life. And so he says, if you seek me, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, if you really love somebody, you're going to search for them with all your heart. In fact, Hollywood makes a fortune on movies where some guy is searching for some woman for days or months or years. They make a fortune on those movies. What was that one? Something about Seattle. What was that? Sleepless in Seattle, there you go. That was two people trying to get together. and people, millions of people watched that movie because there's something in us, that knows that there's a God and we should love Him and we should be seeking for Him with all of our heart, particularly while we're on this earth and He's in heaven, even though we have His Spirit, His Spirit's within us, and His presence is with us. There's nothing going to be like when we see Him. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. That's the way it should be every day. You see? And I tell you, if you don't have that in your heart, say, God, fill me with your love. Fill me with your love, Lord. I want that kind of love in my life. I want to be seeking you on a daily basis in your word. I want to seek you as I'm about my business. I want to seek you when I'm home. I want to seek you because I'm looking forward to when I'm with you forever. You know, sometimes you come to a place, and I hope you never come to this place. They were interviewing a guy down in that hurricane, and they said he lived a few mile, I don't know, maybe a mile from the ocean or the bay there. And they said, did you lose anything? This is on national TV. He said, I lost everything. I lost everything. I have nothing. My home is gone. My automobiles are gone, and all these things are gone. But I'm going to tell you this, there is no storm that can take Jesus away from your life. So there'll never be a time that you lose everything because you have Him. And that's the way our life should be. If it's not that way, find out for sure if you know Christ as your Savior. And then begin to search for Him and begin to seek Him and begin to go after Him in every way you know how, and certainly in prayer. There's a story about an old preacher, and this young man came to him and he said, I want to know everything about Christ. And the old preacher said, all right. So he said, come with me. So he took him out into this lake, and they kept going out further and further and further, and they got to the water was shoulder high. And the old preacher put his hand on the head of that young man and pushed him under the water and held him there. And finally, he held him there long enough. The young man was fighting for air. He was stronger than the old man, and he pushed himself up, and he said, why'd you do that to me? And the old man said, when you want Jesus as much as you just wanted air in your lungs, you're going to find Him. And that's a fact. There isn't anybody that cannot find Jesus Christ. Now, look in Psalm 42 and verse 1. Psalm 42 and verse 1. And this says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now I realize that when I say it, maybe because of your background, maybe your parents didn't show you love or whatever your circumstances were, that there's some people that have never experienced that kind of love. And as I said before, it's harder for a guy than it is a girl. But the issue is, there's that kind of love in Christ, and if you have Him, there's that kind of love in you. And you have to find it. You have to ask for it. You have to search for it, because it should be more important than anything else in your life. It's going to be your survival for eternity. It's going to be your survival in this life, the very love of Jesus Christ. Because we live in an old lost world, and we lose things. And there's loss of things sometimes. And there's not one thing you can do about it, whether it's a hurricane or whatever the thing is. People lose things. But God, if you have Him, He can rebuild everything and it'll be better than it was before. I don't know if you know, there was a tornado that hit Edwards Apple Orchard in the spring, if you'll remember, and destroyed most of the buildings, the house there and the buildings and all of that stuff. And they had quite a business there. And my understanding, they're Christian people. And the people who own it now are named Hall. It's interesting, but their name is Hall. And I met them just a little while back because my son was in charge of the electrical work when they rebuilt that place. And so I went out there, and it's going to be better than it was before. Are you listening to me? It's going to be better than it was before. And if you have Jesus and you have a destruction in your life, if you have a love relation with Christ, it can be better than it was before. There's no such thing as losing anything forever with Christ, you see. And so, I know there's a lot of people, and I'm not saying that maybe I wasn't even this way. There's a lot of people that just want Jesus so they can go to heaven, and they're very comfortable with their life, not getting too close to Him, and they're just very comfortable in this life, but as long as they have Jesus, they feel okay. And all I can say to that is you've missed something. You've missed something when you there's no one you love that you want to be around ever in your life. And everybody can have the experience about being around Jesus and so forth. Now, I want to show you another promise in the Bible that's guaranteed by God. I want you to see something. John 14 and verse 21. I want you to mark these in your Bible because some people have no clue that God is like this whatsoever. Look in John 14 and verse 21. Okay. John 14:21. He that has my commandments, let's see if this is the right scripture, just a minute. John 14, should be. Okay. He that keeps my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. You see, you love him first and then you keep his commandments. Doesn't work the other way around. You love him first, keep his commandments. You keep his commandments because you love him. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's a promise of God. God says, if you love him, keep his commandments, the Father and Christ will manifest himself and himself to you. God says, if you love me, do my commandments, I will manifest myself to you. Now, what's this word manifest mean? It means to let one's self be intimately known and understood. To let oneself be intimately known and understood. It's very similar to a husband and wife being intimate with each other. God said, I will let you know me. I will manifest myself to you, and I will let you know me. So, you can know God. You can know a lot more about God than you probably do. If you love him, follow his commandments, and he says, I will manifest myself to you. That's what he said. Promise of God. I believe it. Now, let's go back to Song of Solomon. And I want to finish this up with this lady who's seeking her husband. And we want to go to verse 2. Now, she's at home. She's comfortable. It's a place of safety. But her husband's not there. And so she's going to go out into a place which is not so safe. It's at night. She's a woman by herself. But she's not going to let anything stop her to get out to find him whom she loves. And she said in verse 2, I will arise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I found him not. So she's out there. She's seeking him. She left the comfort of her own home. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. Not everybody who wanders from church to church is messed up. Some of them are seeking God. Are you listening to me? Some people are seeking God, and they're going to do whatever is necessary to seek God. My sister is in a church in Missouri that does not preach the gospel. And I've been telling her for a long time, you need to get out of that place. She said, well, I don't want to leave because if I leave this church, my husband probably won't go to church. And if I leave this church, my son probably won't go to church. Well, now it's like 10 years later, and the son doesn't even go to church at all. And the husband just goes every once in a while. And what I'm telling you is, get in a church where you can find Jesus. It doesn't make any difference, the objection of the family, because if you find Jesus and love Him, they're going to see the love of God and they'll eventually follow. Are you listening to me? And so sometimes you have to do that. It's not pleasant at the time. Well, here she's out. She's facing darkness. She's a woman alone, out looking for her husband. Not a good situation. She needs sleep. She fears the darkness, but her love is carrying her on. And she's going to seek, and she's going to seek. And she said, I did not find him. But she's hungry to find him. Now, the watchman's there. The watchmen in this case are the people that would tell her where to find him. It's like people that would share Christ with somebody else. It's like the prophets in the Word of God. It's the Word of God telling you where to find him and how to find him. And that's what is represented by the watchman. And the watchman goes about the city, found me, to whom I said, have you seen the one whom my soul loves? And evidently he had, but he didn't know where he was at that time. So this thing is going on. And that, of course, was talking about the prophets and all of that. And then in verse 4, she says, it was but a little while that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loves. Now, she found him. And when she found him, she held on to him and wouldn't let him go. That reminds me of another woman at the tomb of Jesus Christ. John 20 and verse 15. Let's look at it quickly. And I'll be through in a minute. But, well, maybe more than 1 minute. John 20. Cannot tell a lie here. Okay, John 20 and verse 15. John 20, verse 15. And Jesus said unto her, well, let's go to verse 11. But Mary stood outside of the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked at the into the sepulchre. She saw two angels in white, sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why are you weeping? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. She said, her Lord. I like that. And when she had thus said, she turned back herself and saw Jesus standing and knew not who it was. Jesus said unto her, woman, why are you weeping? Who do you seek? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if you would have borne him from here, tell me where you have laid him, and I'll take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but I go to my brethren and say, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I've ascended unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples. Well, the issue was, when she realized it was Jesus, she held on to him and wouldn't let go. And he said, let me go because I got something to do. He had to go up into heaven. He had to put his blood on the mercy seat. And he had to satisfy heaven in all of these things and take care of the sin problem forever by placing his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And then he was going to come back, which he did. But the fact is, before that, and I didn't read this part, the apostles had come and they had left. But Mary was not going to leave that tomb until she found him. It was not a pleasant place. It was probably still just early morning. It was still dark. She was out there. She was not going to leave that place till she found out where Jesus was. She thought was going to look for the body, but she found him because she was seeking him with all of her heart. And so Mary she just held on to him and wouldn't let go. And Jesus interrupted his whole ascent into heaven to talk with one woman that was seeking him. He stopped everything. things in heaven stopped, waiting for Jesus to get there with his own blood. And he stopped because there was a woman seeking him with all of her heart, and she wasn't going to give up until she found him. She didn't care if she died there in that spot. She wasn't going to leave till she found out where Jesus was. And that's what it takes: energy, it takes prayer, it takes time, it takes being in the Word of God, it takes overcoming your fears, overcoming your embarrassment over something you did. It takes all of that, and to seek him. He came first to the person who had the highest passion for him. So you say, well, I don't have all the gifts other people have, and I just don't seem to have their abilities, and I can't do some of the things other people do. One thing you can have is a passion for Jesus. Amen. Jesus is going to come to the ones that have passion for him. And that's the issue. And if you don't have it, ask for it. If you don't have it, get into the Word. And said, I'm not going to be satisfied till I see you, Jesus, the lover of my soul. And now, one more time, back in Song of Solomon, I want to show you something here. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, and verse 4. And I think something very interesting here, that she found him, and she took him to a certain place. She took him to the place where there were people that she loved. And so she brought him back, it says here, in verse 4 of chapter 3, Song of Solomon. She said, I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him unto my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. And that's another passion we have to have. Finding Jesus is not just for us. Are you listening to me? It's not about us. It's about him and the ones that need to know him. And so when we find him, the first thing we want to do is take him back to those that we want to be saved and go to heaven forever with Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? You take him to the church. You take him to your relatives. You take him to your family. You take him to the ones that need him. You take him to the ones you love because you have a compassion for him and you have a compassion for the lost. And so you take him to the mother's house, wherever that is for you, wherever there's those that you love, that you want to know Jesus Christ. And that's, you don't just keep him for yourself. That's the issue. And if you keep him for yourself, you're just going to dry up. I'm going to tell you right now, unless you give him out, you'll be like a pond with no outlet, and it'll become stale, because God wants us to not only love him, but to take him to our mother's house, or our father's house, or our brother's house, or our sister's house, or whoever's house. That's what we're to do. When I got saved, I didn't know a whole lot of anything. But I knew Jesus, and I went back to my father's house, and I started talking about Jesus. They said, what in the world has happened to you? That's really what they said. What in the world's happened to you? And then finally they'll come to the place where they'll say, well, it's okay you have Jesus, just don't get carried away about it. You know, Let's not go berserk with this thing. Just keep it a little bit quieter. I don't know how many ever ran into that experience. Okay, that's a lot of us. Well, the issue is you don't give up. You love them. You love them. You don't get mad at them. You love them to the one that loves. You love them to the great lover, Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't know Him in love, you don't know Him. Because the Bible says He is love. That's a description of Jesus Christ. He is love. That covers the whole thing. Jesus Christ can't wait to be with you. I said, Jesus Christ can't wait to be with you. What do you think He's thinking about up there? He's thinking about being with you. That's what He's thinking about. Make yourself ready. Prepare for that day. Get to know everything you can about Him now in this life that's possible to know. Jesus said, you come to me, I'll give you a baptism of love you never thought was possible. Be filled with His fullness here on this earth. One other scripture and I'm going to close. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. Very interesting verse here, more than one. Ephesians 3, verse 19. Well, we should start before that, I think. Let's go to 17. Ephesians 3, 17. I'm going to close with this. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Jesus Christ which passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now into Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. I want to read that in the Amplified Bible. That you may really come to know practically, through experience, for yourselves, the love of Christ, for which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled with all your being unto all the fullness of God, that may you have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. That's the objective in this life. Jesus Christ should be more important than anybody else, and you'll just be a blessing to everybody around you. If you know Christ in that way, you can't help but be a blessing to everybody around you. That's what we're here for, to see Christ. To know Him in all of His fullness. To be filled with Him. To love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And then our neighbor as ourselves. Let's stand before the Lord.